Those things aren't normal for most humans, you know what I'm saying? But I'm a big believer that because we had God involved in all of that, that he was able to heal that, you know? And so that's why I'm even here today, you know what I'm saying? Talking about this, because I want that for other people too. I want that restoration for other people too.
Welcome again to the Primeval Podcast, where we ignite the engine of your success in faith, family, finance, and fitness. Join us as we explore the power of being a prime mover in both your professional and personal life.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Prime Mover Podcast, where we ignite the engine of your success through faith, family, finance, and fitness. Here you are. I'm Travis. This is Nick, and we got a very special guest with us today, a dear friend of mine, you know, coming off of an amazing sales episode last week with Drewby Wilson, that's going to come out in the next couple of days. Following it up with, you know, what I believe is a guy who can write a script to closing success. And so that's both in his family life and his business life as well. So a good friend of mine, welcome Mr. Doug Mitchell from Building Great Sales Teams.
Yay.
Thanks for having me, brother. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. So we have a little format, you know, but ultimately we start in conversation. And so just give us a 60-second or 6-minute version of who Doug Mitchell is and what you stand for and why are you on here talking to people?
Yeah, so I've been building sales teams now for 13 years. I took over the business I currently own when I was 23. Owner financed it from the previous owner. Learned from him. He had several different businesses, your typical serial entrepreneur like yourself. And so I got to do a lot of different things. And when I took over this business, I found I had a knack for it. And it's because such a big part of it was systems and processes around sales, which those two things typically don't go together. You know, when you look at the greatest salesman, it's usually the enthusiastic, you know, animated character that is played in movies and stuff like that. And so what I figured out, especially in door-to-door and in B2B, was that if you just followed a script, you followed a system, you followed a follow-up process, and you did, you know, good discovery and qualification with the customer, sales didn't have to be hard. It just had to be somewhat of a numbers game and somewhat of you getting better every day and increasing that closing rate, right? And there's systems and processes behind that. And so I was able to document those, scale my company. And so long-term, we did $35 million over 13 years in commissions. And we sold for AT&T, DirecTV, Vivint. You know, we did security. We did solar. We did B2B. And so a little bit of everything. And one of the things I realized is I had a knack for building sales programs. So basically, a new client would come in and say, hey, we need you to sell this thing. And we want to outsource the sales to you. And so I'd build out the script, the training, the systems, the recruiting, the onboarding, all that good stuff. And once I joined some of the masterminds that I'm in now, I realized that, hey, a lot of 7-figure and 8-figure business owners need help with this stuff. They have holes in their game. And I'm able to come in and kind of fill those holes in their game. So I started consulting shortly after that. And that's what I've been doing for about the past year and a half.
Sweet, bro. So tell us a little bit about why the real important stuff now, your family.
Absolutely, man.
You got a beautiful family, man.
So I guess I've been through, like most people have, an evolution, right? You know, when I was young, I came from a pretty broken home. And so I ended up being raised by my aunt when I was 13 years old. Because she wanted to get me out of the environment that I was in. At the time, my sister was pregnant, and my mom was cheating on my stepdad in another town, you know? And I was in the house alone often. And so she kind of plucked me out of there, took care of me. She was my guardian angel for the next 5 years, teaching me how to be an adult, how to be responsible, you know? But I never really had that strong father or mother figure, right? And so while I was very independent, and was able to take care of myself, moved out when I was 18. I wasn't very good at the relationship and family type stuff, right? And so I met my wife when I was 21, immediately fell in love. We got engaged a year later and then married like 3 months later or something like that. So within a year and a half, we were married. And that's right around the time that I took over the business too. I remember coming home and working for the previous owner and, you know, going over the deal with him that day and bringing the deal home to her. And we had just gotten on our feet, just started making steady income. She just started teaching. So we had two paychecks and we had a 3-month-old baby girl, Madeline, my oldest daughter, who's 13 now. So I went home and I told her, hey, I'm going to buy this business. It's going to cost us 200 grand. We're going to own and finance it. I can make the same money I'm making now, if not more. You know, and she looks at me and she's like, don't do it. Please don't do this. You know, knowing if I had already brought it home to her, like I was going to do it, you know? So I went back the next day. I signed the deal. You know, obviously, I wasn't the best husband at the time. I was just doing what I wanted, you know, and then she was having to deal with those consequences. But fortunately for us, this was a good one because I was able to scale that business from, I think when I took it over, it was maybe going to do 200,000 or 300,000, and I ended up scaling it to 5 million a year in 3 years. And so it ended up being a great thing for our family. I learned a ton. The tough part about that is, though, when you put that kind of success and that kind of money in the hands of someone that is already broken, all you've done is amplified the brokenness in them, right? And so right around 2014, I started traveling a lot. You know, we opened up 13 total offices nationwide. So now I needed to go to those offices, check in on the managers, make sure that the culture was proper and that the systems were being followed, the offices were organized, all that good stuff. And so I was traveling a lot. One night, one of my managers asked me to go out to dinner with him. Dinner ended up being a strip club. And I was saved in 2011, but you wouldn't know it by my behavior that night. And so that kind of opened up Pandora's box for me. And over the next 18 months or so, you know, I was two men. I was one that was traveling and the businessman successful and unfaithful. And then I was the one at home where I was the perfect father, the perfect husband, you know, as far as the rest of the world could tell. And so I was living these two lives for a while. And then one day, so I had, my wife and I had agreed to help her uncle open up a church. And so you can imagine what I'm going through, doing all these things when I'm on the road and then coming home and being part of a new church, right? And so the pastor, which was her uncle, asked me to give testimony because I had been saved and, you know, I came from a broken home. And so he thought it would be great testimony for the rest of the church to hear. And so I went up to the stage to give that testimony. And all of a sudden, this man that for the past 3 years could speak in front of, you know, 50 sales reps, could speak in front of AT&T, could, you know, cater to whoever he was talking to at the time, all of a sudden was at a loss for words. You know, a man of many words had zero, right? And I believe that that day God silenced me and convicted me and basically said, hey, not on my stage, not in my church, you know, not with what everything that you're doing outside of it, because basically you're being a liar up here, right? And so I got down, you know, I played it off as emotional and I couldn't get it out or whatever the case was, right? And so, but that day God did convict me. And so I stopped cold turkey. I got rid of the addictions that I had because quite honestly, they weren't real addictions. It was just me not knowing what else to do with my success and not finding a way to find fulfillment with my family and in my business that I had at the time. And so I started working on that. I started sowing into that. I started reading my Bible again, getting it deeper into the word, praying, pouring into my wife, pouring into my family, and things got better. But obviously, I still hadn't told her what I had done So I was still living out of integrity. And so another 2 years go by and things are getting better. Business is doing well. Everything is going great. And my wife comes across an old email in which I had coordinated a meetup between me and another woman 2 years prior. And so, well, 2.5 years prior or so. And it was just happenstance. I wasn't hiding anything anymore because I didn't have anything to hide. So I didn't try and hide it or anything. And so when she came across that, I could have easily said, oh, well, that was a one-time thing, or, you know, played it off, or there was nothing in there that said we actually met. So I could have said I didn't follow through with it. I could have lied, basically. And instead of doing that, I guess I was just overwhelmed with, you know, everything that I had been keeping a secret before. So I told her everything. Everything I had done, the person that I was for that year and a half. And obviously it devastated her. All of a sudden, the man in front of her was not her husband anymore. It was a stranger she didn't know. And so we separated, eventually got divorced. And long story short, I was driving to San Antonio, having just sold my house in Corpus Christi. And we were moving to San Antonio because she wanted to be closer to her parents while she was going through all of this. And so obviously I sold the house and moved there as well to be close to my kids. And as I'm making that drive, I just have a ton of conviction, tears, you know, feeling like my life is over and all that. And I told myself, you know, I was thinking about, because at that time I had begun posting on social media and, you know, becoming, you know, at least in my community, a staple in the community around business ownership and sales, right? And so I'm, you know, I was thinking about how was I going to explain this in a post, or when friends asked me about it, or when family asked me about it. And of course, my brain went immediately to, okay, how can I make myself look good here? Or how can I pull this off to where everybody doesn't find out what I did, you know? And then the conviction came from God again. And it was just like, hey, this stops today. You're going to be a man of integrity moving forward, you know? And so I made the decision then to be a man of integrity in everything that I did. And so anybody that asked me or that wondered why we were getting a divorce, I would tell them straight up. Didn't matter who it was. My pastor, my brother, my sister, my aunt, uncle, didn't matter. And so that's kind of when I made that decision. And the second thing I made a decision on was that I was going to be, you know, I had screwed up the marriage just like my mom had, and my biological father and my stepdad. So I wasn't going to screw up being a father. You know, that I could get right. That was the one thing I didn't want to get wrong. So I did everything I could to make my ex-wife at the time happy, made sure she was financially secure, that she had the support she needed in raising the kids, and that we had 50-50 custody. So I had the kids just as much as she did, and that when I had them, I was completely present. And what that forced me to do was get even more dialed in on systems and processes to where I could basically remove myself from the business for 20 hours a week. And so basically for the next couple of years, I only worked 15 to 20 hours a week, had a $2 to $3 million business, and achieved like a 28 to 35% net profit each of those years. And so I became very efficient with the motivation of spending more time with my kids. And so that I was able to continue to maintain the business and do that. And eventually, you know, we were both in different relationships at different times. And eventually my wife, she had lost her relationship with God through all of this, you know, and she had kind of just put him on the back burner. And she decided she wanted a relationship with him again. So she started praying. And in her prayers, after a couple of months of this, she kept getting the conviction to basically come back to me and our relationship and to restore her marriage. And so, unfortunately, at the time that she got that conviction, I was in a relationship, you know, and we had tried to reconcile maybe 4 or 5 times without God involved. And so this time she had God on her side, but it didn't matter because I was already in a relationship. So she basically had to go through the next 6 months, quote unquote, waiting for her husband. Until I eventually exited that relationship. I say exited, sounds like a business. Until I eventually broke up with my ex-girlfriend at the time. And about 6 weeks later, she asked me to be her date to a wedding. And that just kicked it off from there. So the big deal was in all of this is that she hadn't forgiven me up until she restored her relationship with God. And she was able to forgive me. And then she saw me as that, as her husband again. You know, that veil had kind of been lifted that was over her for the last 4 years or so, where she could only see me as this person that had hurt her, you know? And so, you know, from there, we dated for about 6 months or so. And then it was like, pardon my French, but it was like, shit or get off the pot, right? And so we moved into the property that we live in now. And we remarried a year later. So we've been remarried for, I think July will be 3 years now. And things have been amazing ever since, you know. But only because we're constantly protecting our marriage. We're constantly protecting our relationship. And all the way down to the finances. And God's involved in everything now. You know, every one of our decisions. We pray consistently every night. We attend church as much as possible, and we're both in our Bibles on a daily, if not weekly, basis. And so that's kind of been our story, is that's the glue that kind of holds us together, and the way we were able to overcome everything that I had done, and plus everything that we did while we were apart, you know. Those things aren't normal for most humans, you know what I'm saying? But I'm a big believer that because we had God involved in all of that, that he was able to heal that, you know? And so that's why, 100%. That's why I'm even here today. You know what I'm saying? Talking about this. Cause I want that for other people too. I want that restoration for other people too. And I know that's not on the business side, but it sure does help when you have a strong relationship at home and a strong family at home.
Yeah. Doug, man, amen to you. You know, all glory to God on that one, because, I just love hearing those restoration stories that are obviously an act of God and an act of obedience on your part and her part. And so that's just a great testimony. And as much as we love business, man, it's got to be God first here for the Prime Movers and within every company. So I just want to say, keep up the faith, continue in the word, man, and just thank you for sharing that to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. You can get I'm sorry, it's a little long-winded. It's just hard to
explain everything good.
In a short amount of time.
you can get on a lot of podcasts and listen to a lot of business, sales. I mean, search YouTube for whatever you want. You're not going to get this. So, again, if one person hears that and then affects them, then mission accomplished. So, thank you. That was a great testimony. I took a lot of notes from it. Ultimately, we start the podcast off with, you know, the definition of a prime mover and why our guest exemplifies being that. And so what a prime mover is, and the significance of the name, is it's the first person to show up to a situation and provide the energy. It's the thermostat, not the thermometer. And so being a prime mover and a starter and a power source, man, that whole testimony exemplifies you as a prime mover. And, I know that moved people to hear. So I think, if you want to know what a good testimony looks like, man, the last 15 minutes or so has been that. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So I was going to ask you, a couple questions. You are in, man,
that's a good testimony, man.
That testimony was so good that
Travis,
it derailed a lot of my thoughts.
Nick sounds great right now, but your audio is like a quarter of what his is. It's got to be the way you're pointing the mic.
I talk into the mic.
Okay, yeah.
He leans back and forth.
I'm going to lean into the mic. Yeah.
Much better.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, bro. Amazing testimony. I saw something in there in the beginning that I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And like when you grow a business, you had talked about when you hit that 5 million mark, mm-hmm. Is when you started noticing things, you know, I guess change in life. And so I think in my mind, like when I first started growing, when I got to, you know, 2-3 million in top line revenue, you notice a significant difference in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, you could probably take your kids out of public school if you want. You normally drive in a couple of nice vehicles, live in a nice home. You're not worried about where your next meal's coming from. Mm-hmm. You're having dinner a couple of nights a week, possibly out. Kids are in sports. And then you get up to that $5 million mark, and life is noticeably different at that point. You have a mm-hmm. growth mindset. Most people have a growth mindset. You know, you're experiencing things in life that, you know, very, very few percentage of people are blessed enough to do, going to vacations, going to mm-hmm. Disney World, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to that point and you're not, you know, spiritually, financially, you know, mature enough to handle it, I know that's my testimony as well. You know, I get success at too early age, and what you said was money amplifies brokenness. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was powerful and definitely the focal point of what I think a lot of young entrepreneurs go through. And when you hit certain stages in business, your life starts to change and you have access to things that, you know, you wouldn't just work in a basic 9-to-5 job. So
yeah,
I think that, that's something that every entrepreneur goes through. Would you have anything you want to speak into that? Like why you think that
fails so many people? Yeah, I think, you know, it's obviously a warning for the younger guys that are maybe at a couple hundred thousand right now mm-hmm. and that are saying to themselves, oh, man, when I get to 7 figures, everything's going to change 100%. But is it going to mm-hmm. change for the worse or the better? And right. that only depends on you and the way you're educating yourself. I never educated myself probably until I was 30, 31. Everything that I had done to that point was, you know, based on experience and reaction and, you know, basically trying 3 things and one of them working. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't know what self-development was. I didn't have a board or a council of men lead me, you know? Even if I did, that conviction was so loose and so little that, it couldn't overcome all the temptation I had in my life, you know? And it's easy for someone that makes 40 or 50 grand a year, clocks in, clocks out, goes home every day. And you know what I mean? Like it's easy for them to maintain that life and not step outside of out of bounds, you know, but guys like us that are constantly in front of other people, temptations, money, you know, and again, when you look at the people that, let's just say, make $500,000 a year or more, I would venture to say 90% of them are not living in integrity in some aspect of their life, whether it's their business, their personal life, being a father, being a leader, somewhere they're out of integrity, and you always find out, you know, later in your relationship, you know. And so it's not an easy thing to do unless you're reinforced by one of two things, and you always need both. And in my opinion, the one of those things is God as your foundation, and then the second thing is your growth and development that has to be intentional. You know, experience is nice, but my business was doing 5 million when I was 26. What experience did I have 5 years, you know? Even now, you know, having 15 years of experience being a business owner, it's still not enough alone, right? You need a North Star, which for me, it's God, and you need to get an education, not college necessarily, but whether it's a mentorship, apprenticeship, or you need to be surrounded by men going through everything that you're going through, because you guys are going to raise each other up as long as they have like-minded values, you know? And so we all need those people or God around us to reinforce our values, as well as reinforce our experiences and education that we think to be true, just to challenge those things, you know? And so iron can continue to sharpen iron, and you can be ready for those challenges when one of your sales managers says, hey, let's go to dinner, and you end up at a strip club. You can be ready to say, no, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
Like, no, this isn't what we do. You know, it took me till, again, I was 32 years old to institute core values in my company. But once I did, I no longer got those offers. I no longer was surrounded by guys that were even wanting to do that stuff. All of a sudden, my company was full of family men. It's funny how that works, you know?
Yeah.
You start intentionally doing it.
Surrounding yourself with the right people, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
No, it talks about... Speaks into, you know, that's the difficult part of growth is there are casualties along the way. There's relationships that sometimes don't carry over. And there's a lot. It's not about hurting other people or leaving people in the past. It's I'm moving forward and certain relationships. You know, it's tough to keep up with when you're in a certain, especially a growth mindset. So I could appreciate that.
I got a question I would like to kind of pose to both of you. Successful men, obviously early age in career, speak to those guys who are entrepreneurs, who are running, starting to get into that level of success that they see. How do you, or even speak to your older self, if you will, what advice would you give to, in order to find that right mentor? What are the key factors that you would look for or advise yourself if you could?
So I'll kick it off. The first thing I would say is it may feel like everything's going up from here, but give it some time. Mm-hmm. And you're going to reach a challenge. You're going to reach a hurdle that you weren't ready for, right? So I just want to reinforce what Nick is saying in finding a mentor and finding at least maybe a mastermind, you know. And I don't mean one that you got to pay for that looks sexy on Facebook or whatever. I mean like a group of like-minded men or women, if you're a woman, that you share the same values with, right? Kind of like me and Travis have in the collaborative. We don't necessarily pay for that one. And so but, you know, the advice that I would give you is look at the fruit first, right? Yeah. The fruit of their labor, and not necessarily their business and the gross dollars they're doing, but themselves, their physical appearance, their family, their children, you know, their calendar. If you can get a hold, if you're looking at someone as a mentor and you can see their calendar, that'll tell you what's important to them 100%. Or if they even have a calendar at all. If they don't have their calendar dialed in, I don't know how they're operating unless they have an assistant by their side. So there's something off there. If someone is pretending that they are this person on social media, their calendar will tell the truth. I never really thought about that, but now that I'm so convicted on, because if you look at my calendar 5 years ago, it was empty. It was show up to the office and let the office tell me what to do and let the business tell me what to do. You know what I'm saying?
Now, do you think, real quick, Doug, do you think, are you talking about from the sense of a short-term calendar or like long-term a calendar? Like, or do you think people in command of every hour and then lending that, like, are you, let me back up. Is it more about how they manage their time or in what order and what do they spend the most of their time doing?
Just to clarify. I don't think it's the volume of time, because I think we're lying if we say we spend more time on God than we do our business, because that's just not possible. Right. We'd be broke. You know what I'm saying? I think it's that, all right, if I say I'm a family man, when you open up my calendar right now, and I can show you guys right now, you're going to see probably at least one date night this week, whether it be with my wife or my kids. You're going to see maybe a practice, a baseball practice or two. You're going to see my daughter's events. And you're going to see that I'm able to go to them. You know what I'm saying? That's a big deal, you know? You're going to see, obviously, that, you know, like I had a call this morning with a kid that I mentor, you know, that I have a call with once a month on Friday mornings at 8 a.m. And so you're going to see what's important to me. And then, yeah, you're going to see the work in between all of that stuff, the things that pay the bills, of course. But you'll see that I have actual clients that I'm consulting. You'll see that I have a team that I manage, you know. And so when I look at a mentor, it's not enough just to see someone on social media and be enthralled by what I see there. I want to look behind the curtain and see that it's real. Or I think what would be more appropriate is just ask them to spend a day with them, to shadow them for a day and pay them for their time. But at the end of the day, you're just seeing what they actually do, you know, because there's a lot of. Now, if I have conversations with you, like I've had conversations with Travis over the past 2 years, like I know he's the real deal, because once you get older, you start hearing things that men say or that business owners say that, you know, oh, okay. They know how to handle taxes. You know what I mean? They know they've done seven figures. And there's certain things that you listen for. But when you're young, you don't have that. So you need to be able to see the fruit is the biggest thing I want to say before you spend that time. You know, it's not the money, right? You may need to pay for the mentorship, but it's not the money. It's the time that you spend and the direction that you take that affects the rest of your life if you're serious about it.
Yeah. So what I was hearing Doug say is find a mentor, measure the mentor by their fruit. And I would give the same advice how to not get caught up in the rat race of early success would be definitely you know, I was thinking while Doug was talking is what mindset or frame of mind would I have had to been in my early days to say I should pursue a mentor at this point in my life. I wasn't that smart then. So, you know what I mean? So like, what kind of frame of mind do I need to be in my early 20s, early 30s to not get caught up in the early success? You know, I don't know how you get there, but I know how you get out of it. You know, everybody gets there in a different way. I know you get out of it by changing the content, changing the way you think. But ultimately, what my advice would be, obviously pursue a mentor. Make sure that you're prepared for, if you're going to pursue a mentor, be relentless in that pursuit, but also be prepared for you to grow and maybe your importance, the things that you focus on are going to change. So your mentors can change. You can have multiple mentors. You can pursue them from a long distance. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, not everybody is bold enough to walk into a room, but there's content available out there to get the right mentorship and be prepared to pursue them like crazy, even to where it feels uncomfortable. And then, you know, like Doug said, measure them by their fruit. And so the commonality there is mentorship.
Right.
And how to find the right mentorship is what I think what I would speak on is that could be a whole nother
podcast.
One of the podcasts. So yeah, I want to make sure we honor Doug's time. And
yeah.
Doug's obviously an interesting dude. So I want to go down that path. I do this with everybody in the podcast is I read a book that changed the way I think about business and life called Blue Ocean Strategy. So it's been a pivotal book in my life. And then I read another one by Patrick Bet-David called Your Next Five Moves that I thought was also kind of the way I developed, my business planning and thinking. So Doug's an EOS guy. I'm an EOS guy. You'll see the books in the background, but, going through that phase from the crazy life of being an unorganized entrepreneur, that was a big pill to swallow. So for me, I was able to break that down with just thinking in the next five moves approach or action plan. So Next two questions I want to ask you are going to be related to those books. So you're familiar with Blue Ocean Strategy, right?
Just from what you've told me.
Yeah. So ultimately, it's change your perspective or the way you approach the marketplace or approach life. Everybody else is kind of doing their same thing in a red ocean. What is Doug's for your building great sales teams, business, or your family or life, or what's your blue ocean strategy? How do you stay on top of ideas and think outside the box and strategize growth in your life and business?
So because it's different from what everybody else is doing, like you said, it's a blue ocean strategy. Mm-hmm. For me, it's that integrity piece, right? And so I don't need everybody to think I'm the greatest at everything in order to do well in business, right? Now, granted, I'm a coach. I'm a consultant. You know, I'm a consultant 95% of the time. I'm a coach like 5% of the time. I'm okay with being transparent and telling them exactly what I've done, right, and how I've done it versus trying to act like I know everything and have all the answers for my clients. You know what I'm saying? Like I can tell them exactly my experience and what's gone well. Now I'm entering the stage where my clients are starting to do things bigger than I've done, you know? And so obviously I'm going to be able to use that experience as well, but I'm going to speak to that. You know, if I have a new client coming on that does, you know, roofing, I have this other client that has executed some of our strategies in roofing and they're doing, you know, 4 or 5 million now. I can speak to that, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think the integrity piece is a huge piece of it in everything that I do, right? So when I talk to my kids, you know, I just told you guys that whole story. You think I want my kids to know that story? Probably not, but they need to know.
Right.
They need to know for their own roadmap in life. So I can show them this huge pothole that I just jumped right into like a crazy person, you know, and they can avoid it. And they can also know what are the signs that you're about to jump into that pothole or you're about to slip right into it. And so the first person that I told was my daughter because she's of age. I feel like that I could tell her and she handled it very well. She's been saved and she understands forgiveness. And so probably within 5 minutes that I told her, she forgave me, you know, and granted I'm her father, right? So a daughter's love for her father is almost unconditional, you know what I'm saying? And so I was lucky in that aspect. Now the next people that I have to tell is my sons, you know, and they may not be as forgiving because they're going to be more protective of their mother, you know? But my oldest son is 12. Probably when he turns 13, I'm going to tell him and his younger brother who will be 11 at that time, you know? So they both are able to understand everything that I'm telling them. And so again, when you talk about, okay, how do you foster growth in your life, in your family, in your business? Well, that's how I do it in my family, is being transparent about what their dad is going through or who their dad is and where he's come from. You know, whenever I have to get after my son and maybe I lose my temper, you know, maybe I yell at him or something like that. You know, it's a few minutes later, I'm apologizing to him for losing my temper, for coming at him that way, losing control, right? Because one of the things I want to teach my sons is control, you know, be a dangerous man when you need to be, but 99% of the other time, you're controlled and you're steadfast in what you're doing, you know? So if I don't display that, then I need to apologize to them and have integrity in that aspect, you know? Same thing in my relationship. One of the key factors in me and my wife coming back together was me being transparent about temptation. How else could I travel on the road again and her trust me? And so in the very early days of our reconciliation, when I was on the road, I would purposely, she would not ask for this, I would purposely call her at certain times. And one of those times is right before bed, and I'm going to bed at 8:30, 9 p.m. when I'm on the road. Because nothing good happens after that time. You know what I'm saying? And I'm getting up at 4:30. My fitness is better on the road than it is at home. Because obviously when I'm at home, we're watching movies or we're hanging out as a family or as a couple, you know? So I did certain things. And then I told her when I was having temptation, you know, you don't come off of 4 years of dating and, you know, not having God in your life and living the way the world wants you to without, all right, we're going to reintroduce God into our relationship and we're going to reconcile this relationship. And all of a sudden we're not going to have temptation yet. Right. So I was honest with her about the temptations that I had. And so that created trust. And, you know, it's rare for someone that has been unfaithful to their spouse for their spouse to be able to say, I trust them completely. You know, they all, you know, the cliche is once that trust has been broken, it can never be repaired unless you have God. Mm-hmm. And so, that had to be built though. You know, God definitely helps, but he's, you know, it's like everything else. Faith without works is dead. So I've got to do the work too. And so integrity is in both those things, as a father, as a family man, as a, in my relationship, and then in my business too, when I'm dealing with challenges and stuff like that, and I bring them to my team, or, you know, when I don't meet my client's expectations, you know, I have integrity in saying, you know, admitting that, and then letting them know that we'll fix it. You know, I have a business, it's called Podcast Partners. And the first 6 months of that business was rough. My clients were not exactly happy because we were having a hard time figuring out the systems, you know, like any new business. And so I had to step out in front of that every single time and say, hey, we were wrong. We are going to fix this and it won't happen again. And that's so rare these days, you know. I'm not here tooting my horn. I'm just telling you the strategy that I use. And you said it's against the grain. And so I'm making sure the listeners understand that. How many times have you bought a service or paid for something and then it fell short? And then what did they do? They made excuses. They blamed it on their team. They blamed it on you. You know what I'm saying? Or they thought you were being unreasonable, even though that was the expectation that they set. So many people defer or shield themselves from accountability and responsibility and integrity these days. And so that's my blue ocean strategy, is integrity.
That was a great explanation, dude. I can only imagine, you know, you're at a point right now in your career where you're transitioning from consultant and coach. And I know you got a big event coming up that you decided you felt called to put on. So I want you to talk about that, man. Talk about your event for the last few minutes and where, when, what, where, why.
And this is in good fun. But I don't know what is wrong with me that when things are starting to go smooth, I have to add something else on top of it. You know, at first I knew it came from trauma. You know what I'm saying? It was my trauma response because I had had trauma my whole life and I performed under trauma or under stress or with my back to a corner, right? I know that's where it originally came from. But I think at this point it's like, oh, things are going well with my consulting clients. The income is good. Things are going well with the side hustle podcast partners. The team is running well. And, you know, things are going well. I'm coaching for Winrate Consulting. I'm a coach for them, and I'm handling their small business owners group. And things are all going really well. You know what I should do? Let me add something else on top and put out a graphic for an event that's going to happen in 100 days. Like, made the decision, put out the graphic within 2 hours. And you know, as soon as you put it out there on Facebook, you got to do it. So yeah, that makes it real now. And so, yeah, it's come together really well. We've got Mike Claudio's going to be our keynote speaker in addition to me. And then we've got Mark Bielik. So Mark has ran 100-person-plus sales team around insurance. We got Neil Kaiser, and Kaiser has recently done a PE deal for millions and millions of dollars with a PE company for his roofing company. And and then we've got who else did we get? Donnie Boyving, who has been a mentor of mine around B2B networking and relationship building. And so I'm at, oh, and of course, you just had him on the podcast. We got Drewby Wilson. you know, who is the follow-up king and the meme lord, you know? And so we got a nice mix of guys that are going to bring a lot to San Antonio-based businesses, which is kind of our target. Obviously, we invite everybody, but I really want 70 to 80% of the crowd to be from San Antonio. And in it, it's a selfish reason. I don't want to travel as much. I want to be closer to my family more. So if I can get clients from San Antonio, then I'm in good shape. But yeah, the event's going to be all about building great sales teams. There's going to be no pitching from stage. The speakers are going to give actionable strategies. And we're going to have two panels, a door-to-door panel and a recruiting and sales systems panel. And those panels are going to be littered with my clients because I know that they're doing what they are going to be giving advice on versus, you know, their personality in the space. And I hope that they give my people value, and I hope that they're executing on it. I know they're executing on these things. I learn just as much from my clients as they learn from me. And so who would I be to not put them on my stage for sure. And so, yeah, I'm excited about it. You know, one of the other cool things we're doing for the platinum ticket holders, we're going to do a workshop the day after, and we're going to build their sales program in the room, you know, at least the bones of it. We're going to build it in the room. So we're excited about that too. And yeah, we're sparing no expense. Anytime I have any profit on the consulting side, I'm pushing it over to the event side. That's how it works, right? We've hired a media company. I've got Bree Logue handling my marketing. I've got Samantha Guajardo, who's a local event planner here, handling the event planning. And, you know, I consulted with Hunter Blue the other day. He's the owner of RoofCon, and his events manager, Diego. I spent an hour on a call with him yesterday. Like, I am absolutely utilizing my network and as much as I can to make sure that we deliver on this event in San Antonio.
So where is it going to be in San Antonio?
So we don't have a venue yet. We got almost everything else except the venue. We are really, like, my standards are really high, not in terms of like classy or anything like that, but in terms of like, it's got to have that edge that you and I have and that people, you know, in our spaces have, where it's like, you know, we're scrappy, but it's got to be modern. I've got a few places in mind, but we haven't been able to lock down dates yet. Not dates. We have a date locked down, reserving that date with them yet. And so I know I don't want to do the stuffy hotel thing. And so I'm trying to find a hybrid space that maybe is used for different events year round, small, medium, and large. And that's all they do is events versus a hotel that also does events.
That's cool, man. I love it. I'm glad that you put some action steps with it.
You should see my Monday project management board for it. It's insane.
So I would say I'm gonna jump back. I love the idea of you putting on an event. I think you definitely speak in authority and bringing in the right type of people. And your goal here is to help people. So I mean the notes I have speak to that. And so I guess you said project management board. It instantly made me think. You would call yourself an integrator, a visionary. Well, how did you do on the test? Do you remember?
So I'm an 89 visionary and an 86 integrator. I'm sorry, flip that. I'm an 89 integrator and 86 visionary. So I'm what you call a hybrid. And a lot of people say that, but I didn't just take the test myself. I had my team at the time take the test. So my staff took the test, and they're the ones that scored me at that. I scored higher on visionary than I did on integrator, but they flipped me. And so I'm going with their assessment, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's fun because I'm an integrator for everybody else, and I'm a visionary for my own company, you know. Even on the podcast partner side, Bree Logue, we're partnered over there as well. She's the integrator on the podcast partner business.
That's cool, man. That's interesting too. I don't know if I've ever heard it put like that. Like, you know, the business model is built around both of their strengths, in both directions. So that's pretty interesting. You're pretty interesting. And this event is going to be pretty awesome. I did want to ask, Mike Claudio, I know of him. I don't know if you want to give him a shout out here.
Yeah,
absolutely. If he's your keynote, give us a bio on him as well.
Yeah, so Mike's been around for a minute. Mike came from the B2B world around contracting. Around contracting as well as residential. So he managed a 8-figure contracting sales division. And then he started getting into to coaching 3 or 4 years ago. And so one of his staples is he's one of the only coaches that has, besides his actual coaching business, has never ran a business himself. Hmm. And it's crazy because he's very good at what he does. He doesn't need the knowledge necessarily of owning his own business, which he obviously has now. He's been doing it for 5 or 6 years. But because he knows contracting business owners so well, and then he pulls it out of them. So much of what he does is so much the man instead of the business. Mm-hmm. He coaches the man more than business. And that's why I've always called myself a consultant, because I coach the business, you know? And so I met Mike through Apex Executives. He was in that group, and he was a coach in Apex Executives. And he wasn't my coach, unfortunately. I would have been so excited if he was. But I did have dinner with him one night, and he pulled more out of me in that dinner, gave me more conviction and more purpose in a one-hour dinner than I probably had had in the whole Executives program. Because you're able to hide from most conviction. You're able, sure, to hide from it, whether it's a group, you know, the speaker's convicting the group, you know, you're one person of 5 or 10 or 200, right? So you're able to hide there. But when Mike sits you down and talks to you, he stares into your freaking soul, and he knows whether you're bullshitting him or not. It's a God-given gift that you cannot learn, his ability to pull that out of people and get right to the root of the problem as it's happening. Right. So now he's got over 100 clients in the contracting space. He's got WinRate Consulting, and then he's got 8 coaches backing him up, me being one of them, because he can't handle all those clients himself. Whenever I met him, he had his schedule from 8 to 5 outside of his growth and development. From 8 to 5 was a coaching client every hour. And he would have some days, 12-hour days, back to back to back coaching clients. And because they've had so much success with them, because they appreciate him so much. And he's one of those people that can command a stage very well. He's a very good public speaker, which a lot of people are good businessmen, but they're just not good speakers and they're not good communicators. You know what, sure, I'm saying? And so God has gifted him with that. And I'm very excited for him to close out the conference in the way only he can, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a solid lineup, man. I've seen Nihal speak a couple of times before, Blue Hammer. And really interesting guy in the way he thinks. And so I think that what you said about Mike, you know, there are people like that. And I think that goes back to measuring people by their fruit is, mm-hmm, some people can just put the dots together super quick.
Yeah.
And some people can't. And so I don't know in every scenario that somebody has to have, you know, done every stage there is to in business to realize where their strong suits are and just kind of really get laser focused on that. And then developing that, teaching that, strategizing around that. So I definitely have, I definitely feel why you would feel that way about him for sure, man. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Mark Balik, I met through Apex Entrepreneurs, Drewby, awesome dude. So yeah, man, you got everything here kind of spread out from motivation, you know, inspiration to closing, to building teams. You are obviously going to kill it in that regard. So I know that's your strong suit and your purpose. And so, man, that was a pretty good packed hour. I think there's a lot of value in there. I love having you on, man. I'm excited for this event. Give me the dates again.
Yeah, it's going to be July 12th. And then, if any of your listeners end up going for a platinum ticket, the workshop will be on July 13th from 9 to 12. And
where can they get tickets?
BGST24.com/event. or you can just go to salesprogrambuilder.com, and I've got resources on there that are completely free and will help you structure your script, overcome objections, sell the way customers want to buy. I have a bunch of resources on there as well for your listeners if they want to take advantage of those.
Sweet. And so where do they find you on social? Where do you go by? TexBizDad? TXBizDad?
Yeah. TXBizDad. If you want to see some really good barbecue, it's TXBarbecueDad is another Instagram. I haven't posted to it in years, but it's all there.
You know, self-proclaimed world champion, or you got hardware?
You know, I'm just claiming right now. Okay. Whenever my schedule calms down, probably around 45, I am definitely going to hit the barbecue circuit. That is definitely a dream of mine.
That's cool, but, man. You got to get some
grow some businesses first.
You got to make sure you get the dad New Balance or the dad Nike shoes if you're on the barbecue.
Oh, absolutely. I got to get my solid white 800 first, though.
What? Dude, that's awesome.
Gotta have
those
it.
Those are my favorite. I'm sure Drewby, I can get him to post a meme about that. Dude, I love barbecue scene. Doug, man, you turning up the heat. You're definitely a prime mover. This has been awesome. Great testimony, man. Glory to God here. Your Blue Ocean strategy was awesome. Big event coming up. I'm going to let you give your next five moves at your big event, and maybe we'll do this again, man. So I enjoyed it. I'll see you on our next collaborative call for sure. Nick, you got anything you want
to? Yeah, Doug. In? Yeah, man. Just appreciate you coming in, giving up your time to us and our listeners. And so appreciate your story and everything you're doing. And, man, good luck on that event. We might try to sneak out to San Antonio and go catch it.
Cool, man. Yep. Building great sales teams. TX BizDad. Thank you, brother. Love you, man. Prime Mover Podcast. Check us out on all social media platforms, anywhere you get podcasts. Get real, raw, undefined conversations between business owners that are trying to be prime movers. So thank you, Doug Mitchell, for being that guy, bro.
You're welcome, brother. Appreciate you.